Guess who's back, 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 back again, again, again. Beth is back, back, back. Tell a friend, friend, friend. Guess who's back, 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 guess who's back. It's Beth, Beth, Beth. I figured one of you would stop me by now, but you haven't. It's Beth, Beth, Beth.
I'm just upset at you, really. Terrible way to start.
Welcome to, I think it was maybe the best way to start. Welcome to Bantering the Blue Shirts. My name is Joe, and I am also joined by Mike. And if you haven't figured out yet, the other co-host is Beth. And we are here to talk to you about the New York Rangers and lots of other fun things. We missed you last week, Beth. We had a pretty good show. You know, there wasn't as much chaos. Maybe not as much silliness, but...
Bring the chaos.
You do, and that's exactly that's what we need. We need that. That type of presence on the podcast, the enforcer presence, if you will. So, this show is brought to you by, drumroll please, Blue Apron. That is correct. This show is brought to you by Blue Apron. Here's the deal. You don't want to shop. You're not good at shopping. Mike is terrible at shopping. Beth is probably okay at shopping. I am terrible at shopping. But guess what?
That's sexist.
You go to blueapron.com. What did you just say to me?
I said that's sexist, Joe.
Could be.
I'm a pretty good shopper, though.
See, Beth,
I am a terrible shopper.
So, there you go. I'm a terrible shopper, too. But I don't have to be a shopper. Do you want to know why? Because I use Blue Apron. BlueApron.com/blueshirt. And guess what you get? 3 free meals with free shipping. You don't want to cook. You come home. You don't want the ingredients. Guess what? Blue Apron brings it directly to your door. They give you everything except for salt. Seriously, you should have salt in your house, even if you have to use the salt that you like use on your driveways and stuff. If this needed to be more enticing for you, some of their featured upcoming meals are warm smoked trout and asparagus salad with fingerling potatoes and garlic croutons, peach honey glazed chicken with mashed sweet potatoes, collard greens, and Thai basil. Are you kidding me? You couldn't cook that if you wanted to. So they make you cook it because they give you all the ingredients. They give you all the directions. You put it into a pot and you do things to it. And then the next thing you know, you're eating the fanciest meal you have ever eaten in your life before. But the only way that you can do this is by going to blueapron.com/blueshirt and you will get 3 free meals. I will buy you 3 free meals if that is the first time that you have used the account. It is a better way to cook. And there are a lot of things that you don't have to worry about them. You can customize your recipes each week. For less than $10 per person per meal, you get 3 meals a week. Are you kidding? Just do it. So blueapron.com/blueshirt. Do it now. Enjoy some good cooking. You have time to learn how to cook with Blue Apron before the Rangers start. Maybe you want to drown your sorrows in some food. I don't know how you deal with your problems. Beth drinks on the air. That's how she does it. But you can cook with Blue Apron. So go to blueapron.com/blueshirt and you will get everything you could possibly desire out of the kitchen in your house that may or may not be used. I don't know. This podcast is also brought to you by Patreon. And that means people like Anthony Viola, John J. Porter, Dan Lynch, Eric Cohn, Daniel DeGen, Matt Bader, George Littman, Guy from Montana, Trevor Kempner, Dan Carosi, Zachary Zetlin, Arch Williams, Igor Zetlovsky, Alexander Thornton, Thomas Osa, and Michael Silvers. Thank you all for donating to us. We really appreciate you. You are part of the reason why this show even exists in the first place. You understand? Do you understand just how important that is? Do you get it? Oh, and Victoria Embry as well. I don't know if I said her name, but she is also a very big part of this. So just donate. Go to patreon.com/blueshirtbanter. Give us money. When you listen to Mike and Beth and it sounds like they're in your living room, that is because we were able to buy Skype subscriptions. We're working on better microphones. You have no idea the type of stuff that's going on behind the scenes here. So, yeah. Anywho, how are you guys doing today?
I'm good.
Bethany?
I'm fine. Beth's drinking, probably.
No, Beth's not actually drinking. Beth is still recovering from her college reunion in Maine, which is why
I had questions about that.
It's on the wagon
for
the foreseeable future, actually. So,
or
at least until game 7.
So, do you guys know that Dylan Macbeth was playing for the Calder Cup?
Yeah, I did.
I didn't know that. I didn't realize it until the other day when I saw a photo of him, and I was like, huh, what is he doing now? And that's what it is. And he is still fighting, so that's the way that that works.
Yeah, Florida moved him to Detroit in the Vanek trade.
Yes, correct. God, you are so smart. Anywho, maybe he'll win something. Who knows? Hagelin, maybe. God, there's so many former Rangers who could win things. So this show is a little interesting because there's a couple of different things that we want to talk about that are looming. And one of the big ones is the fact that the expansion draft is going to be upcoming. The Rangers have probably four players that they may or may not be losing. Depends on the way things fall. We're going to discuss whether or not the Rangers have really any opportunity to get some value for some of those players beforehand. But as of this speaking, as of the words that are coming out of my mouth and directly into your ear, at 8:06 on June 8th, the New York Rangers have not asked Girardi or Staal to waive their no-movement clause. Now, as an explanation for what that is, any player who has a no-movement clause in their contract is auto-protected and costs one of your protected slots in the 2017 NHL entry draft. So teams can choose to one of two options. The option that most teams will take is protecting seven forwards, three defensemen, and one goalie. The Rangers have to use a protection slot on Girardi and Staal because they have no movement clauses. They also have to use one on Henrik Lundqvist and Rick Nash. So the only option that you can have to not use that is to request that they waive their no movement clause. If they agree, they are no longer auto-protected, and you can protect another player. In the Rangers' case, it would be Nick Holden or Kevin Klein, and honestly, who cares about them? But are we surprised that the Rangers have not at least put this out there to see if another team may or may not want to take these contracts on for free, even though we know it is a maybe a foolish notion in the first place? Mike, I will let you start on that one.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily surprised because I would imagine that the Rangers are going to end up keeping one of them anyway. And I'm sure there's some politics going on in regards to, you know, whether or not asking a guy makes him uncomfortable, you know, in the future for just the guy's relationship with the team. I think that's pretty... I'm sure that's part of it. The Rangers are an organization that try to do things the, you know, classy way, for better and for worse. So, with that being said, it's a little discouraging because it's the easiest way and the most painless way to get rid of these contracts. So, not pursuing that is frustrating, but it's not. I don't think it's the end of the world. And I'm only saying that because, frankly, I didn't think it was going to happen. So that's my take on it.
Easy and painless are not words that come to mind when thinking about those contracts. So,
no.
And I was mostly just thinking, like, what sort of, if there's some sort of major sports agent award that could be given. Because I feel like every year some new element of their contracts that makes them completely ungiveawayable or unmovable or something comes to light. I have to admit that I'm not one of those people who has the details of everybody's contract completely memorized. But it does seem like for as every possibility that arises to possibly get rid of them has already been foreseen and some way made more impossible or more expensive by whatever these amazing contracts are that were negotiated for them, that clearly pretty much allow them to play and do anything they want for great deals of money that they haven't really earned for the rest of their lives, as far as I can tell. I mean, I see. Anyway, so, I guess when it comes to those two, I just always kind of assume at this point that the worst is going to happen. So I guess I agree with Mike that seemed too easy, and since nothing else about this has been easy, you know, why would it be easy now?
No, it should be easy.
I guess the question becomes, there has to be an expectation that one of them is getting moved this summer, be it through buyout or by a trade, God willing. Mike and I talked a little bit last week about the potential with Vegas to kind of reset the defense. I think we're going to talk about that a little bit today too, because we're beginning to get more of a sense of the way that Vegas is going to go about their day-to-day business leading up to and in the days after the draft. And it just sort of becomes this opportunity for Jeff Gordon to kind of come into the picture and say, hey, listen, this is how we're going to take care of business. Am I surprised the Rangers have not asked the two of them or one of them to waive their no movement clause? Yes, I'm actually quite astounded, because you would think that that would be the very first step. My guess is if the Rangers can't do anything, say they try to do stuff and they can't, they try to trade Staal, they try to trade Girardi, maybe they're working on a deal where they're going to move a pick or a prospect or Stepan or who knows for Girardi to get taken. I mean, again, we're really speculating here, but the reality of the situation is you would think step number one is, hey, can you waive your no movement clause and see if Vegas is actually looking at someone like you? Now, the next question becomes, if the Rangers were going to go down a road in which they were going to trade prospects or assets or whatever to Las Vegas in order for them to take on a bad contract, you would still need to get Girardi and Staal to waive their no movement clause. Otherwise, they can't be traded. So if that conversation is not happening with them, then obviously there is not much of a goal or a hope to have them be traded along with an asset to Las Vegas. Now, I don't know how realistic of an expectation that is. I think Mike and I talked about it a little bit last week, actually. Beth, I am a little curious to hear your thoughts, and not necessarily on the speculation of the matter, but whether or not you would be willing to move, say, this year's first-round pick or a prospect, and think of it as a top prospect like Orion Graves and whatnot, to Vegas in order for them to take a guy like Dan Girardi or Mark Staal. Vegas has already made it clear that they're willing to take on some bad contracts. It's something they're going to be looking to do because, quite frankly, it's good business for them to do it. They're not going to make the playoffs this year. They're not going to make the playoffs next year. I'm sorry?
I say do it.
You would do it?
Yeah.
Mike, where
I mean,
did we land?
There's nobody we really incredibly want. Would it be a first-round pick for this year?
Yeah, I would assume that's the assumption that I made yesterday when we just kind of ran through, or not yesterday, last week, when we just kind of ran through things. And listen, Adam has a couple of stories that are going to go up about draft picks and players who may or may not fall to the New York Rangers. And then the one that he's doing right now, which is about Yamamoto, who Mike and I had a lot of fun with last week, the opening paragraph is basically, one of the most frustrating aspects of what has happened to the New York Rangers on draft day the past 4 years is you've watched players with an unbelievable amount of skill fall to where the Rangers would have been picking, and the New York Rangers did not have a draft pick. This year, some of the players that you look at in this draft and you think, oh, my God, like I'm drooling thinking of this kid. And really, we're talking about Erik Brännström, who is the defenseman from Sweden, who looks like Erik Karlsson. And I know that's a very lofty goal to give him, but he really does look like just one of those players that may have one of the highest ceilings in the draft, could very well fall to the New York Rangers. Kelly Yamamoto is another one. You know, Nick Suzuki, there's a lot of guys that the Rangers seem to have their eyes on who very well may fall into their laps. And the reality of the situation is the New York Rangers have almost nothing in terms of forward prospects who really make you jump out. All the players who you think, oh my God, this kid is a sure thing, or this is a guy who's going to be an NHLer that isn't a depth player or maybe a top nine player like Bunieves, is already in the NHL. On defense, you have Ryan Graves, and that's about it. So the Rangers need to restock this empty cupboard, and to give up assets to lose contracts, I understand that there may be some trepidation there, and it certainly makes me think twice about a move like that. But what the tempting aspect of things was is if you have the opportunity to buy out Girardi and say trade Staal to Vegas for a first round pick, you have effectively totally reset what your defense is going to look like. And whether that defense includes a guy like Kevin Shattenkirk or whether that defense includes Brendan Smith and maybe Cody Franson or whatever, be it Tanev, who might be available from Vancouver, or Trouba, who might be available from Winnipeg, you get an opportunity to really reset everything. And I don't know if the Rangers can pass up an opportunity like that, because this landscape in the NHL is never going to be like this again, or at least it's not going to be like this again until another team is coming out. Vegas has to reach, I think, 60% of the cap floor, or the cap for their cap floor. I mean, Vegas is going to put money on the books, but right now their cap space is at infinity. They have nothing on the books right now. So you may as well go in and take those opportunities when they're there. I don't know. I really don't. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, the other part, I think this is what we settled on last week, is that it's definitely something to think about. But the issue here is the Rangers have that first round pick, and then they don't pick again until the fourth round for this year's draft. So that goes, you know, building off of what you said about the cupboard being empty and, you know, the serious need for a new crop of prospects. If the Rangers don't pick in the first three rounds of this draft, it's that's not a good way to build. You know, you're not going to find guys. It's very rare to find guys that are, you know, after round four. A lot of those guys are, oh, he's too small, or, you know, he's injured, or maybe, or, you know, they're guys who are the Jesper Fast of the world, where, oh, the offense just isn't there, but maybe he could be a valuable, you know, fourth, third line guy. You just don't find many gems back there. I mean, the Rangers have been much luckier than other organizations, obviously, with Lundqvist, but I would hesitate this year, even though it's very tempting to, especially from the perspective of you trade the pick to Vegas and ask them to take Girardi or Staal off your hands, and then all of a sudden you have $5.5 or $5.7 million in cap space, and all of a sudden Shattenkirk is well within your reach. And because of that, whether or not every Rangers fan would like it this way, the team is still very clearly in the win-now mentality. And that is a win-now move. You trade your first-round pick to solve a problem. You know, not to mention, you know, something would have to come back in the trade with Vegas. You know, what it is, who knows? Maybe you can get a second and a third-round pick, or who the hell knows? But
let me throw this out here, and not to cut you off, but before you, I didn't know if you were going to kind of dovetail that into something else. There's been a lot of talk, I think wrongfully, about trading Derek Stepan, that because he's not good enough and whatnot and all that nonsense. Derek Stepan is a guy who I think Vegas would definitely have some interest in, or should have a lot of interest in. He's a guy who has a no trade clause that kicks in July 1st, I believe. So the Rangers could do something before the draft. Maybe the Rangers could convince Vegas to, for example, hey, we'll give you Stepan and you can take, you know, whatever, whoever, and maybe you take Holden in the draft. Oh, and by the way, you also need to take a guy like Mark Staal, and you can clear things out that way without having to worry about moving that first round pick. Now, in the essence of saving cap space, that's great. Mike and I talked last week about the amount that Derek Stepan brings to the table that would need to be replaced if he were indeed traded for whatever reason. But I do think it's an interesting opportunity to say to Vegas, or even if the Rangers did, you know, who knows, maybe Vegas would be interested in Stepan, the 21st overall pick, for their sixth pick. Now, that does not feel like a very win now move, because you're not getting anything back in return, but there's definitely things that can be put onto the table that Vegas very well may be interested in. And if the Rangers are not going down the road of asking Dan Girardi or Mark Staal to waive their no movement clauses, is it safe to claim that, okay, they're actually not going to be part of those plans with Vegas or for expansion? Because there is a buyout window that is going to begin next week pre-expansion draft. And the New York Rangers, if they're going to buy out Staal or Girardi, would probably not wait for the secondary window in August. It doesn't make sense. Unless they actually believe that they're, A, going to waive the no movement clause, and B, are going to get picked by Vegas. And I think we know the latter is pretty much not possible. So there are definitely some questions about maybe not necessarily where the Rangers are going to go from here, but the timing of this is things are going to happen very soon. They have to. The expansion draft is coming in a couple of weeks. So if there is any time that something like this is going to happen, it has to be right now. And Jeff Gordon has to put his mark on this team at some point. This is the first major crossroads to get there.
Yeah, it's an opportunity for him to really solve something that's been holding the team back. It's an aggressive move. I mean, there's no way to look at it that to not consider it aggressive, but it's definitely worth exploring. Of course, you know, if Girardi and Stahl aren't asked to waive their no movement clauses, it's kind of off or not.
So one thing we didn't talk about. Go ahead, Beth.
Oh, go ahead. No, Joe, go ahead.
I was going to say we didn't talk about the Jesper Fast thing at all. He had is it the same hip surgery that Lindbergh had?
Jesper.
Lindbergh had. That's only, right. Yeah.
Only one hip, right? Lindbergh had both hips. Fast is only having one, I believe, but he's still expected to miss quite a few months. Do we think so? To rewind why this is kind of a big deal, Mike, myself, Beth, and I think 90% of Ranger fans out there are under the impression that Fast, Lindbergh, Ronta, and Grabner are going to be really the four top players that are going to be made available to Las Vegas in the expansion draft. So for Fast to be injured kind of changes the game a little bit, because I've always thought that Lindbergh was going to be more attractive simply because he's a center, but does Fast being injured change the way the Rangers are looking at things?
I don't know. I'm not sure it does. It's very hard to say. I know there was, you know, some confusion on Rangers social media about, you know, Fast being exempt, you know, and changing the players the Rangers have to make vulnerable, but that wasn't true. I never really thought Fast was in danger. I think you and I both agreed on the idea that Lindbergh is more attractive because the ceiling is higher, especially after the Worlds, and any play center. You know, he's a guy that a team like Vegas would probably kill to have as a third line center. So, there's some fold to that. I don't know if it makes us feel maybe that, you know, maybe this makes Ronta more vulnerable or not, but it's really important to remember the bigger picture, which is that there are 29 other teams that are going to have players who are vulnerable. And, you know, if the Rangers have a nice cost-controlled, plucky Swedish depth forward, there will be another one out there that Vegas can find. You know what I mean? And because of that, I just don't think it's going to shape what happens very much, other than, you know, chopping the probability of Fast being claimed, you know, in half.
Wait, are we saying that he's not going to be claimed because they just want a team that can be on the ice? It's just Vegas just doesn't want to have to wait to see how he heals or whatever, or the injury is going to affect his play in the longer term?
I think Mike and I are more talking the former, but I happen to agree with Mike in that Lindbergh holds more value because he happens to be a center. The reality of the situation is there are dozens of bottom six wingers who do not get deals in the upfront opportunities. And
without a hip injury.
Right, just milling around waiting for an opportunity come August. Vegas is not going to have to look very hard to find something like that. But when you take a look at the only thing that I would think makes Fast a little bit more attractive is his speed. Like, he's a Carl Hagelin light, and having an opportunity to have a guy like that on your team makes a big difference. The Rangers use him as a top six winger. He's not a top six winger. I think the example I used is that Fast is like Vigneault's Leatherman. You can use the Leatherman for a lot of things. You need a pair of pliers, it's great. You need a little knife to cut something, it's great. you can't use a Leatherman to nail a nail into a piece of wood. I mean, you can, and maybe it gets in every now and again, but you're just using the tool the wrong way, and it's not working, and you don't understand why. So I think Lindbergh is more attractive. I think Raanta is going to be picked. I think he's going to be the selection. Because
I feel the same way, yeah.
There's not a ton of goaltenders who are going to be on the market like that who, A, are not making that much money, and B, Raanta is as proven of a goalie as there's going to be out there, who has not yet been given a starter opportunity, who, yes, he's only on a one-year deal, so you only get him for a year, but if you dangle the keys to the castle in front of him, there's very, very little chance that Raanta does not stick around Vegas, I would think. I may be crazy, but that's the way that I'm looking at things right now. And that kind of leads us to our next segue. Should the Rangers trade Raanta right now before the expansion draft for assets? Because they do have Mackenzie Skapski, who they can put out there for the expansion draft. I'm almost positive. Does it make sense to get that type of value out of Raanta? And, you know, just that it is what it is. This way you're getting something for them and you're not losing them for nothing.
It's tricky. It's really tricky. I think it's interesting to point to the Yandel situation where the Rangers traded Yandel knowing they weren't going to get him and they got, you know, a very modest return, but it was so much better than nothing that, you know, it was more frustrating to look at why didn't the Rangers try and find a way to make that contract work as opposed to, well, you know, at least they got something. The difference here is that Raanta is under contract for another year, unlike Yandel. And that's a very important distinction to make before my next point, which is I think it would be foolhardy in some way just because there's no guarantee Vegas takes them. There are plenty of goalies out there who are really interesting. I think they'd kind of be out of their mind not to knock on the Marc-Andre Fleury door. If they do take an established goalie like a Fleury, or if they drink too much before expansion and they want Lettinen or Niemi, then, you know, God be with them. But, you know, it's not unlikely that they end up with a guy who is already kind of, yeah, this is who we want. But then again, I think we talked about this on the podcast before. In expansion drafts in history, it's just something that expansion draft teams do, and Vegas is drafting against no one, so they're competing against no one. And it's in their best interest to just pick as many goalies as they have contract spots available for, because goalies, especially proven NHL-level goalies, are that much more valuable. And it's like, you know, buying, you know, a big storm is coming, you go to the supermarket, you buy all the flashlight batteries, and then you sell them outside in the parking lot when people are like, oh, what the hell is this? Well, you know, I can charge you whatever I want now because I'm the guy who has all the backup goalies. Vegas can do something like that. It's happened, kind of something similar has happened in expansion drafts previously because goalies are just that much more valuable. It's that much harder to develop goalies, to find them, yada, yada, yada. So that would make me think like, all right, well, that makes it all the more likely Raanta will go. But if he doesn't go, you know, he's still under contract. So it could be trying to address, you know, kind of just pulling the Band-Aid off when it might not need to come off. I don't know. It's a terrible analogy, but you get my idea.
I like the battery one better.
Yeah, I do too. I like the idea that Raanta is just actually a spare battery that you can just sell in the parking lot. just spare Raanta, yeah, spare Raanta. The only thing
it's a huge power play for Vegas to make, which is you take everyone's goalies and then you just say, guess what, like assholes, I have all the goalies now. And what I want is, yeah, I want third or fourth round picks or whatever for goalies.
Well, Vegas, I think, can only pick three goalies, I think. They have to pick a certain amount at each position. And it's – you brought up there's two things that you brought up that are really important. And the first thing is Vegas is not drafting against anybody. And what that means is Vegas, it's not like Vegas is, okay, here's Anaheim first. You don't get to see anybody else's until Anaheim is done. They get to look at every single player from every single team. So they're going to go through the 30 teams and they're going to say, ooh, I think he could be good. I think he could be good. You know, maybe in the case of, say, the Devils, for example, there's only one player that they really like, and that's going to be the guy that they take. Say on the Rangers, they're between Ronta, Grabner, and Lindbergh, and there's three players. They get to build the team out from what they have. And there's not going to be a ton of great options, but there's going to be a lot of solid options. And that's really what Vegas is going to try to build through the draft. They're going to try to take their opportunities when they can. But I would think that, listen, they're not going to get a 40-goal scorer. Let's not go crazy. But they're going to have a ton of money, and they're going to have a ton of opportunities to offer positions to players in free agency. And who knows? Vegas may turn into a very desirable opportunity for some of the younger players in this league, the younger UFAs or guys who maybe want to be out of the media limelight. There are plenty of players who don't necessarily want to play in New York or Toronto or Montreal or wherever. So they play on the Devils because nobody knows the Devils exist. But that's sort of – it's an opportunity there. And Vegas does have a chance to say to some of these guys, hey, listen, we're going to be able to give you a starting role. Vegas is going to kind of move into that prospect realm. Right? Vegas has a lot of things that they can do. So I don't – this really took off from the Fast thing. I don't think the Fast thing it really affects anything. The comment Mike was making about the Rangers kind of changing the way that they were going to do the draft was because that the Brett from – the New York Post mentioned that the Fast injury may change the way that the Rangers, like maybe the Rangers can protect someone else now, but that would insinuate that the Rangers were protecting Fast in the first place. And I don't think there's a, single scenario that the Rangers would be able to protect Jesper Fast. I just don't.
No.
Yeah. I don't know how that was even a thought process.
I'd like to hop in really quickly and apologize for the for the misinformation on the goalies thing. I just checked it. They can take three.
Yeah.
So it's
so you
they
only
can
get
take
three spare batteries.
Yeah. It's there's still batteries at play, but the point is they can go in there and say, you know, take the three best goalies available, which is what they'll likely do. And you know, there are guys like Grubauer, you know, Korpisalo, I don't know if Columbus is going to be able to protect him. Ronta is pretty high on that list, and the Penguins have to get out from under. I think it's I'm pretty sure Fleury has the no movement clause. So if Pittsburgh can't solve that problem, that'll mean Matt Murray is exposed. But if they do find a way to solve that problem,
Fleury does have
a
no movement clause.
Yeah, it's still very tricky.
Wait, hang on a second. Let me just see if they do this for everybody. Okay, they do. There's a button on the Cap Friendly has a great expansion tool, but you can click on a player's who has a no movement clause and it will say waived next to it. And I thought Fleury waived his no movement clause already, but that would be a lie. You could do it for everybody. So continue, Mike. I apologize.
Yeah, but I just wanted to clear that up with listeners. So it is still obviously in Vegas' best interest to take the three. Why wouldn't you take the three best goalies you can get? And just in terms of odds, it's really likely that Ronta could be one of those goalies.
I think so.
I don't see why he would not be.
My biggest doubt is that he's very, very fair-skinned, and the desert is a hot place.
It is. He could be burned. You have no idea.
And he has a baby.
He does. He has a child. Maybe he doesn't want to. Well, that aspect of things is actually, it's not the worst to look at because I really do wonder if Vegas is wondering about the long-term implications of having people's families move out there. Ronta's married.
No,
kid.
I was going to say, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Well, then you can say it. I will allow you to say it.
Well, no, it's just not. I don't think it's a place that anyone with a family wants to be.
No.
Which is why
that impacts their decision with Ronta? That take him? We just have to sign him again in a year.
Yeah, but his. I mean, not to be the mom on the block, but it really doesn't matter until the kids are school age, and he's got 5 years. So that's some time. That's some time to work.
Mom on the block. Beth is the mom on the block.
A coyote could make off with the Ronta child in the night.
Yes. Haven't you ever heard of Dingo Eat Your Baby?
You're really worried about him going out there, aren't you?
I just want him to stay.
Coyotes and his children. He's not even there.
I love that so much.
I think Vegas
feels like he's gone already.
Vegas should be aware that Ronta is aware, because of the Blue Shirt Banter, we are making you aware initiative, that, you know, coyotes sometimes come and take your baby in Vegas. Not anywhere else. Not in New York. There's not a coyote in New York. You'd know if there was a coyote in New York. It probably takes the subway and is very domesticated. That's the only way. You ever seen a subway with a coyote in it? No. No, you haven't. So, yeah. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you about that one.
I did like Mike's idea, though, that Vegas would just hoard all the goalies. Just an entire bench of goalies.
Well,
just
it would
play
be, it would be
because nobody has a backup goalie left.
That's what I would do.
So
it's like a
spectacular.
It's a real douchebag move, but it's like the guy in fantasy hockey draft who takes all the D or all the goalies in like the first four rounds, and you're like, well, what the F, dude? And then he's like, guess what? Charge my own price now.
I have all the batteries. You need the battery.
Yeah. Storms are coming, and I have the battery.
And now, you know what? You know what comes in the storm? Coyotes. Coyotes come in the storm. And now Ronta, he's got to shine the light on the baby for as long as he has it.
Wait, now Ronta's the battery in that story. He
doesn't
have
right.
a baby.
So,
Beth, how heavy is... When did Ronta have his baby? Like...
Less than a year ago. She was 15 when they were last playing.
Yeah. How
so
heavy is
like a
6-month-old child? How heavy is a 6-month-old child?
I am not going to get in the physics of whether a Vegas dingo.
I want to know. I want to know. God damn it! If a coyote could make off with a child in the night.
Well, yeah, they could, especially a baby. But that would assume you'd like left your baby out on the back porch or something.
How do we? What if the coyote gets into the house?
I don't think
what
they do that.
What if the coyote can open doors?
Yeah, what if the coyote could open doors? What if your window
or
is open just
have
a crack to allow fresh air in and the coyote uses its snout to open the window up all the way and gets in?
But it is a dry heat, so it's not humidity, so you wouldn't open the window. However, you might have a doggy door. And then you're just asking for trouble.
How dare you correct me on the dry heat, you son of a bitch? What are you,
Whoa.
A meteorologist?
Well, I was wrong about the goalies thing. I gotta make every. I want pretty much have to belittle everyone else to make
you
them
were,
at my level now.
I corrected you gently. I corrected you as gently as I could. I didn't scream at you to tell you that you
tenderly.
The dry heat. I could have done it. You have no idea.
The tender teeth of a coyote closing down on my arm, dragging me away.
Well, I think the coyote would be relatively gentle with the baby because it knows it's a baby. Clearly.
Oh,
maybe
it
wants to raise it as
its
own.
Perhaps. Yeah, I like that story. I'm not sure
okay,
what it is for Ranta's contract, but, you know. Then he wouldn't leave Vegas because he'd know that somewhere out there a coyote was raising his baby.
What if the coyote took the baby to Arizona so that it could hold it hostage so that Ronta would sign with the coyotes? Because the coyotes actually own the Arizona Coyotes. We didn't think of that. Now, to the other point about this, there was a time in Mike's life where the neighbor dog was a serious problem for him, and he had to shake the cans at it. So how do we know that that dog was not in cahoots with the coyote?
All dogs are in cahoots with the coyotes. They're all canids. They work together.
I don't think Stanley is in cahoots with the coyote.
You don't know that.
I don't, but I'm going to assume that.
And that's why
my family
will lose
a good boy.
Something dear to you, because one day Stanley will betray.
he'll help the coyotes.
Yeah, he can't help it. It's in his nature. Every dog you look at on this planet comes from the gray wolf. We've
it's
just
like the blue buffalo.
The coyote side is buttered on.
What did you say?
It's not the coyote side. Stanley knows which side his bread is buttered on.
Yeah, he does. The coyote doesn't feed him or love him or rub his belly.
Oh, he'll rub
his
belly.
The coyote does none of that. I don't think they will. They don't have thumbs.
If it's a female
paws,
coyote, she
paws.
Can give Stanley things you never could.
Does Stanley want those things anymore?
Yeah, he might not. But you have walked down a road that I absolutely cannot attest to. So I have to, I tip my hat to that one.
Well,
I don't know. What if
wow.
it's an ostrich?
You're not going to swim out into the coyote house dog interspecies erotica with me? You're not going to come?
I'm afraid I cannot. I don't know.
That's
I don't
fine,
even think
Joe.
I think
don't
we were
know
talking
what
about dating recently for erotica to be appropriate right now.
We were what?
Well, it does. There's Cirque du Soleil there, and they wear very tight clothes.
Huh. It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's quite.
Have you seen Carrot Top recently, by the way?
I have not. Should I Google him?
Yeah, Google image Carrot Top. He performs in Las Vegas all the time. Carrot Top, I think, is the most disturbing looking person on the planet. Is he?
Okay,
he,
now
for
he's
those that
come
don't
after.
Know. Well, let him. We'll see him coming from a mile away with the hair.
Oh my God!
The problem
he really
is
got
he's
jacked.
Like, yeah, he's huge.
He's
like
monster.
A bodybuilder
he's
with
a
giant curly red hair, and he wears eyeliner. So there's a lot of things going on there.
Oh
I don't
my
know.
God.
I saw him like.
Is he part of their
I saw
recruiting
a picture
strategy?
Of him. I hope not. No one would go.
Joe's gonna have nightmares now.
Yeah, that's not okay. That's not okay at all. God,
okay.
we really,
I already
what,
miss him.
Did this all begin by talking about fast? I think it did, and then about well, I guess the point is that Ronda might not want to live in. Vegas because
yeah.
of his baby. But I do
yeah,
think as much
it,
as we
it,
got silly, that's a legitimate, that is a legitimate claim.
Yeah, and the
okay,
coyote problem also legitimate claim. In my opinion.
Yeah.
Slightly
equally,
less.
I would say
better.
Equally legitimate.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%.
100%. Oh God, what else were we going to talk about? The show's almost over.
No, it's not. Kevin Shattenkirk. We were going to talk about Shattenkirk.
We were going to talk about Shattenkirk. I've seen actually quite a bit. I've seen quite a bit more. Is Shattenkirk worth it? Than I thought
yeah,
I was going to. At
I've
this
noticed
point.
That.
And
yeah, definitely
I don't know
that.
Where that's coming from.
Playoff?
I really don't.
From Nervous Nellies.
It's possible. It really is possible.
He didn't win the cup with the Capitals, so that's
I'm
a problem.
Pretty sure
well,
every time he's a puck there were Rangers fans takes on his desirability on our yeah. So it was up and down his stock was up and down based on that and I can't quite remember where it ended up, but I don't think it was high, obviously.
You know so, what? I think the point is a lot of the people who are like, hey, Girardi's contract is actually not that bad, but do you really want to give another contract like that out? But I think Shattenkirk is different than one of those stay-at-home players. I think we've proven, or at least we have enough evidence to support the fact that the Keith Yandels of the world don't age the same way that a Mark Stahl or Dan Girardi does, because those are not guys that necessarily rely on their physical presence to take care of business. Those are players who are working off of skill, and sure, speed is a part of that, but you do see more and more older defensemen who are puck-moving defensemen who are effective at a later age, if not as effective as they used to be, than you do, say, the Dan Girardis or the Shea Webbers of the world when they're 34, 35 years old. So am I nerd? Would I like to get Shattenkirk for a cheap deal? Of course I would. Of course I would. But is that going to be possible? Probably not.
No.
Yeah, so. Especially if you look at some of the, like, a good comparable is Shattenkirk's 28. Not to mention this past season was the best season of his career in terms of just, you know, counting stats. We saw Yandle, you know, sign a 7-year for an average annual value of $6.35 million, and he was 29 when he signed that deal. So, and you could pretty safely say that Shattenkirk is a more exciting guy than Yandle, and, you know, the Yandle deal was signed a year ago. So, it's definitely not going to be cheap to get Kevin Shattenkirk. He's going to be the highest paid guy on the blue line, and thank God that Ryan McDonagh is grossly, grossly underpaid. Otherwise, it wouldn't be feasible. But it's something that I think, you know, for all the frustration about, oh, the power play is inconsistent, we can't get the puck out of our damn zone. You can fix those problems by throwing a lot of money at a guy like Shattenkirk, because if you get him and you pay him that much, you play him on the first pair and you give him the first power play unit. And then, you know, hopefully we don't see what we saw with how Yandle was used, which is still one of the most vexing things in recent Rangers history. But
vexing.
If I was drunk, I'd scream, but I'm not, so I won't. But consider me having screamed.
She screamed. I heard it.
I'm still thinking about Coyotes, so we're all good. It's going to cost the Rangers a pretty penny, but, and of course you add into that how I think most Ranger fans would like to see Brendan Smith back, and that's going to cost money to do that too. So, both of those things really can't happen unless the Rangers do bite the bullet on Staal or Girardi. There's also another fold to this is that another team's entering the league, and by definition, that means the talent pool thins. You know, there's just more competition, and Vegas needs a guy like Shattenkirk literally more than everyone else. So, you know, they will not be afraid to offer money. And there are going to be other suitors. I'm sure Washington would like to keep him around, but they'll have trouble making that happen, even though the Capitals are, I think, are losing Oshie and Justin Williams in terms of UFAs. But, yeah, it's definitely interesting. I mean, Joe, do you want to see the Rangers really kind of buckle down and go after Shattenkirk?
I do understand the trepidation around giving that much money to a defenseman who is simply going to be a defensive presence. And what I mean by that is Shattenkirk not only is an actual defenseman to put with the likes of Ryan McDonagh, Shattenkirk is also a power play quarterback. He's a guy who can move the puck. Imagine him, Shea, McDonagh as your top four. The only reason I would not take a serious run at a guy like Shattenkirk is because you've traded for, say, Trout, Trouba, or Tenev, or whatever it may be. You've traded for one of those players. And that's really the only way that I could see something like this really making a difference. Because Shattenkirk, I think, checks all the boxes for what the Rangers need in terms of just in terms of how to fix the problems that the Rangers have. And I'm not saying he's going to fix everything, but I am going to say that if he's utilized properly, he's going to make an enormous difference where, you know, another stay-at-home defenseman, like maybe a Cody Franson or something, who maybe has a little bit more offensive abilities, is not going to. Because don't forget, you could bring Smith into that equation too. McDonagh, Shea, Smith, Shattenkirk is your top four. That's one of the best top fours in the NHL. And you go from one of the worst defenses in the NHL to potentially one of the best. I don't think you can turn that up.
Can I ask a question?
Or off. Yes.
If you guys talked about this last week, just ignore it. But, I mean, literally in terms of numbers, what's the percentage chance that we're stuck with Staal and Girardi next year?
We did not talk about that.
They go nowhere.
I'm
higher
going
than
to
we
tell
want
you
it to
zero.
Be.
I'm going to tell you zero. I don't think there is any chance both of them are on the team next year. And if there is, then there are serious problems.
Well, yeah, but that's a given. But I still want a number. So your number is zero. That makes me feel better,
well,
Mike.
No, my number is my thought. I guess the real number is probably like 20%.
Okay. That was about what I thought. Mike?
21%.
Did you just Price is Right as me?
You just got Price is Righted.
Are you kidding me? I don't know how those people don't punch the other people in the face.
Although if Mike wins, it means we're stuck with both of them. So right, so that's
yeah,
not really
so,
winning.
Wah, wah, wah.
You
yeah,
don't want Mike.
Sad, to... No, no one wants Mike to win. Joe, you're doing it too well, Joe. We're going to get flagged for copyright infringement.
I wonder if that's possible.
It happens
probably
on YouTube videos.
Well, yeah, but we're not a YouTube video. We're better than that.
Are
no,
we
I've
done?
Been recording the...
There's good YouTube videos.
So
I just
yeah,
thought we were
going
to talk about one other thing. What?
What?
I just checked the score. Go on.
What's the score?
We don't want to know the score.
No.
Oh, the last thing we planned on talking about, will the Rangers do something drastic at the entry draft?
Well,
as in all the rumors about Duchene being available and
I'm going to bow us out of that one because I was thinking about it. We cannot answer that question until we figure out what the Rangers do at expansion.
Yeah.
You sound
because
a bit.
Too many things are going to hinge on what they do and do not do in expansion.
This was
so
your
I did not
idea,
want to bring it up.
The draft thing.
He set you up.
I did set you up. And you fell right into my trap, and now you look like a fool.
I'm going to buy every battery in your town.
And send in coyotes.
And then just wait till the storm comes.
I'm going to fill your garage with coyotes. So many coyotes. You have no idea.
Where are all these coyotes coming from?
What is a pack of coyotes called? Probably a pack.
Probably a pack.
Say, let's see. Pack of coyotes is called... Yes.
A band.
A band
of coyotes.
Ooh, coyotes.
Yeah, I like that.
Coyote 101. Coyote smarts. Let's see.
A band of coyotes.
This
only
is
if they're running.
This is interesting.
Float of coyotes? I like that.
No, a float of crocodiles.
Is that what it's actually called?
A pack is
a coyote family dominated by an alpha male and a female who form a breeding pair.
Well, this website is English-zone.com, which sounds totally legit.
This is coyotesmarts.org.
It is .org. Beth, I want you to know that a group of ducks is called a paddling of ducks.
Aww.
Like butter off a paddling of ducks.
A whole paddling
like
of...
Paddling of ducks?
Where's the ostriches? They don't have it.
You're just singing tonight, aren't you?
Huh?
Joe is
you're
all
very
about
singy.
I've been very singy lately. I don't know why. Jim Avicii going down the farm. Remember that song? It was the greatest song of all time.
You shouldn't sing at night, Joe. That brings in the coyotes.
I don't think... Well, there's got to be coyotes in Connecticut.
What song was that? That wasn't poor Jimmy BC.
No.
You really need a great...
Yeah, I guess.
Or, I mean, maybe just kiss. Or maybe just song.
Okay. Well, anything else that...
I have a good question.
Go ahead.
right now, if you could have Jimmy, you get to choose Jimmy VC or Anthony Duclair. Who do you take?
Holy crap, that is a good question.
I know, it's so good. It's so much better than anything you contribute.
God, I probably take Duclair.
Ooh. Yeah, I think I would too.
I'll tell you why I take Anthony Duclair. Anthony Duclair is 21 years old, and he's already a 20-goal scorer in the NHL.
He's still a baby.
I get it. He had his issues with Arizona, but yeah, I still take Duclair. Now, that's not shitting on VC either. I take Duclair.
Is it close for you, or is it like pretty clear that you would take Duclair?
I think it is pretty clear that I would take Duclair.
Oh,
and
that's
not a shot at VC, but mm-hmm. You know what it is. You know what this is.
What about
pitch.
You, Beth?
Well, my impulse was Duclair, but since Joe took that already, I'm going to say VC because I just found him, I don't know, really fun and interesting to watch during the playoffs, and he seems to be turning into a I don't know. He's evolving, I think, in a good way. Not that he was bad when he got here. And I think he's probably going to be a really different in a good way. Player in another year. So even though he's VC's 23 now, 22, 23.
He's 24.
So the age difference is that big.
Yeah,
really?
He's 24. Yeah, that's another. Yeah, he's. Yeah.
Oh, I thought he just graduated last year. Okay. All right, so he is a little on the older side, but I do think his transition from college to NHL is not complete yet, maybe just because of all Rangers chaos this year. And so I do think he's not quite the player he's going to become yet, whereas I do think, not that Duclair has hit his ceiling, but I think we know more about what kind of player he's going to be than we do about what kind of player VC is going to end up being. So I'm going to go with the unpredictable side.
Yeah, all right.
Well, there it is.
Well, there you go.
There it is. You have heard from Beth, who is the source of knowledge about everything.
Oh, very few things right about now in the season, but
everything.
I know my...
All right, so my name is Joe Fortunato. So. Twitter.com/JoeFortunato. Or no, I'm sorry, Twitter.com/BlueShirtBanter. What am I saying? Mike
Joe.
Is BSB. Beth is Beth Macklin.
What is your favorite non-red meat?
Chicken.
Chicken.
It's the easiest question in the world.
Yeah.
Whoa, wait a minute. Before we go, let's ask Beth. Beth, there is a non-zombie apocalypse. You can only select one medieval weapon. What medieval weapon do you select?
You guys know I'm a 47-year-old woman, right? Like, I don't have an arsenal of medieval weapons at my immediate recall.
Well, we'll give you.
I don't know why you wouldn't.
I got a mace. That's literally the only one I can name.
Okay.
So
terrible choice, Beth.
That is maybe the worst choice you could possibly. I mean,
you've done a terrible job.
Catapult, but you
guys are working out hard right now, so I actually feel fine with my choice because if I did know,
it's cumbersome. It's one dimensional.
The arbalist, Beth. The arbalist.
Yeah,
I
Joe.
Fun at my college reunion.
Joe got it immediately.
Yeah,
it's
Joe
so
knocked this one out of the park. He was wrong about chicken,
right
but
answer, quote unquote.
It's some sort of advanced crossbow makes the most sense.
Because you can kill
you can hunt
far.
Things. Self defense, hand hunting. Worst case scenario.
Know that from Robin Hood. Or isn't a quarterstaff just a big stick?
Yeah, Beth, that's just a goddamn stick.
You're going to take a stick?
Honestly, you're going to take a hockey stick?
I'm again still trying to come up with the names of weapons before I could even remotely begin to choose them. This is not a fair game for me.
Oh, my God.
And
stick.
I don't
you're
care
such a
that
girl.
I
get
a stick. A stick. A stick. That's like saying you're going to play hockey with a baseball bat.
It's nothing like that, actually.
You're right, it's worse.
Beth.
Like saying you're going to play hockey with
a washing machine or a jar of peanut butter.
Well, you know, she would be able to reach high things. I'll give her that.
Yeah, before
like
we shoot her with the arbalest right in the head.
Well, if, like, she comes across a gang of, like, you know, cherub-like children who've gotten their kite stuck in a post-apocalyptic tree, she could get, she could, you know, jimmy the kite out of the tree with her stick.
Hmm.
Wait, if you could
in
only
words,
have one piece of sporting equipment in the non-zombie apocalypse, what would it be?
Yeah.
Oh, one sporting equipment.
Yeah. Any sport.
Oh, wow.
But
obviously,
if it's fencing, the stupid foils with the little balls on the end, so it can't be the sword.
Well, recurve bow, archery, done. Mike wins.
Oh. What if you don't know how to arch, though?
It's a recurve bow. They've just, I do know how to pull
from
a bow.
The Olympic event where you need to snipe out the targets and then
The biathlon?
I've won because I now have a gun, an actual gun.
Well,
like I could snipe you from hundreds of
gun.
Feet beyond. What'd you say?
A bullet gun or a skeet gun?
Oh, it's a bullet gun. They shoot targets.
Oh.
So
yeah,
I have won the
like
game.
BBs.
Mike, I will shoot you in the eye with that BB.
I will
shot in the eye before.
You are.
I will feed
your.
Now. I'll feed your family to coyotes. Is what I'll do.
Okay, that was that. You've taken us now to a dark place.
You were going to shoot me in the eyeball.
Yeah, because you told me I wasn't good enough.
I would have no depth perception.
You would not. You would not be. You'd have to write by speaking. It would be awful. You'd be speak writing.
I'm trying to think of. I think the gun and the bow might be cheating.
Well, that was.
I kind
of.
I like
kind
the
of.
Hurley. You know the Irish sport of hurling of hurling. I think it's called, where you have like a bizarre like wooden machete bat stick thing. That's what I would have.
Wooden machete bat.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Wooden machete bat. I'll go with the wooden machete bat. I'm not even sure what it is, but it sounds useful.
It's a cudgel, kind of. I would do that. A baseball bat wouldn't be too bad.
God, I hate Sidney Crosby.
It's thick enough that it maybe wouldn't break.
Oh, my God. I would definitely do the hurling stick. I just Googled it. It's fucking rad.
Is it?
It looks like a big spoon. I like it.
Fine, I'll Google it too. Hurling stick.
Hurling. Like hurling with.
You can buy them on Amazon. Oh, it's awesome. The goalkeeper stick is sweet. It's like an enormous paddle.
Cool. Yeah, it's great.
Gaelic
and
football and hurling posts.
Yeah, and you could build a canoe and use it as a paddle. Great.
Just flatter on the end.
Yeah. It's a lot like a field hockey stick. Yeah.
Hmm.
All right. Patreon.com/BlueShirtBanter.
Field hockey stick is good too.
No, the hurling stick is way better.
Well, the field hockey stick is not a bad second choice. It's pretty badass.
You know what? I'm going to beat the crap out of you with my hurling stick.
You're very rude.
I bet you didn't
very
do
rude
that.
Boy.
Hitting right in the eye with the hurling stick.
You didn't even know what a hurling stick was before I brought it up.
But now I do. It's a Gaelic device.
Gaelic device.
It's a Gaelic device.
It's an instrument of Gael.
Yeah, it's absolutely correct, the both of you. I think the curling it. Stick will need to be the next picture drawn on the Bantering the Blue Shirts logo.
You mean hurling, goddamn.
Yeah, hurling.
Not
sorry,
curling.
I said hurling.
Hurling
I said hurling
is...
because I'm thinking of Gaelic. BlueShirtBanter.com. Mike does, and Beth do their Riveters coverage at the Ice Garden now, so you could do that too. The Ice Garden at SB Nation is our women's hockey representation. BlueShirtBanter.com, Patreon.com/BlueShirtBanter. Do all those things. Mike, Beth, anything you want to end on?
Let's go Predators.
No. Yeah, go, but it's not good right now. It's not good.
Don't tell me that, Mac. Let them tell me good things.
A tool for
Gaelic. It's good for somebody.
A Gaelic device.
A Gaelic
I'm leaving
device.
Now.
Beth is away.
Good night.